This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montaigne.
And I'm Steve Inskeep. In northern Pakistan, the journey home began yesterday for millions of refugees who fled the army offensive against the Taliban. They've been stuck in camps for months now. But when buses pulled up and gave them a chance to go home, only a few took up the offer. Most of those who did leave had no idea what they would find. NPR's Julie McCarthy reports.
In the early morning heat and dust of the Jalozai camp, buses line up to take the first group of families, some 149, home to Swat Valley. They are a trickle of the 4,000 families here, most from the mountain and stream-filled valley. Nothing prepared them for this flat-baked spot of 100-plus degree temperatures, a four-hour drive south of Swat. Overcome at the prospect of leaving, tears streak the face of one woman. She says modesty dictates that she be known simply as the sister of Shaukat Ali, her displaced brother. "We are very happy to be going back," she says, her face a mixture of grief and relief. "I have not spent a single contented day here. May God have mercy on these camp dwellers and guide them home. Life here is nothing but helplessness," she says. The Swat exodus was one of the biggest displacements of people in recent times. Millions fled their homes as government troops took on the Taliban. The turmoil laid bare government ineptitude. But the army says its offensive has dislodged the Taliban from the valley where they once called the shots. For all the misery it caused, SWAT returnee Juma Ghul says the fighting was worth it. "It was necessary because these terrorists weren't going to leave without a fight," he says. "They were on the march, slitting throats and beheading people. They were terrorizing the population, so the army had to come in and remove them," he says. But none of the Taliban's top leadership has been captured or killed in the two-and-a-half-month-old offensive that the military says is in the mop-up stage. As Berkt Sultan, a widow, prepares to board the bus back to Swat with her 9 children, she says she's not convinced the army has eliminated the militants. "We have resigned ourselves to death in returning home. Whether we live or die, we have no other option," she says. Sultan adjusts her white headscarf and skeptically says that returnees have been given their food packages and fans this day because officials have come to visit. Security is tight, and choppers buzz overhead. Not everyone has been given their allotted food or the promised cash of 25,000 rupees, about $300. Without it, people are reluctant to go back. A young bearded man named Anwar Ali sorts through the holdouts. "You're not going back if you don't get anything, right? So you are refusing," he says to one man. Ali sounds abrupt, but passes no judgment on those who decline to return home without some cash. Residents go back to a ravaged economy in Swat. 25-year-old Akhtar Muhammad is a father of one who's not going anywhere. "We can't trust them," he says. "If the government hasn't given us resources here, where the situation is normal, how can I trust them to give it to us in the middle of that confusion back home?" Ashad Hussein recently returned to Swat to scout whether he could go back permanently. He will, but his trip provided a glimpse into the precarious security back home. "The other day," he says, "the army was telling the police not to flee and to help normalize the situation." Fears of a security vacuum have many adopting a wait-and-see attitude. For those who do go back, the homecoming is bittersweet. While smiling children wave from the buses, their parents sit subdued. 2 months in a sweltering camp, contending with their upended lives, has taken its toll. And the days ahead, back in the valley they call home, are filled with uncertainty. Julie McCarthy, NPR News.
Junaid Khan contributed to this report from Camp Jalozi.